Good evening and welcome to the Happy New Year, a little late, and welcome to our first City Council meeting for 2016. So tonight is the Monroe City Council meeting for January 12th, 2016. The time right now is about 7:03 p.m. Ms. Smith, will you please call the roll?
Certainly. Council members present and establishing a quorum are Cuddeback, Rasmussen, Camp, and Scarborough.
Thank you. Will everybody please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. And please note for the record that we were aware that because of work that Councilmember Campbell would not be able to make it this evening. And also, we received word earlier today that Councilmember Davis would not be here also because of something that came up at work. So without objection, we'll consider both of them excused this evening. Thank you. The next item that we have on the agenda, the first item we have on the agenda, is recognition of service. Chief has a special recognition this evening, so Chief Quincer.
First of all, good evening, council members and audience. I want to thank you for attending this evening. This is a celebration of Sister Barbara's service for the city of Monroe as a domestic violence advocate. She will no longer be doing that, but she will still be the chaplain. Chaplain for the Monroe Police Department and Fire Department. This evening, I should probably explain a little bit what a domestic violence advocate does. And basically, they meet with the victim in a domestic violence situation and assure that they are going to be safe. And then they assist them through the court process, also assist them in many other ways, perhaps even in new housing, and assist them in helping them get out of the situation they're in. So. Sometimes it's not a very safe type environment to be in, but it is something that's really needed in our community. As many of you know, that domestic violence in our city and every city and county and in the state of Washington seems to be a scourge on our society. So tonight we are congratulating Barbara, and we have some things that we would like to present to you. First of all, I have a plaque here that you need to be really careful. It's kind of sharp. And I'll try to read it here. They have to hold it out like this so I can read the writing. In recognition of your excellent contribution to the community of Monroe as a domestic violence victim and advocate, you continually demonstrate a tremendous resolve to protect crime victims and compassionately help the most vulnerable members in our society. Congratulations. You might want to find a place to put that, so we have lots of stuff.
Oh, gosh.
This is a little something that the members of our department got for you. And,
You can open it later.
Whenever you would like.
Are they out the stand of attention or all? Yeah, later.
If you want them later, they can stand of attention while you're
Yeah, that's right.
And I also have something that I like to give out to our special
Cool.
Yeah, it's a James Cone. So.
Thank you.
That. And I believe the mayor has something that he would like to present.
So on behalf of the grateful community, I thank you for your years of service. This is from me and from the city council.
Thank you
very much for your years of service.
It's been my pleasure. I mean, it's a gift to me to be here. And even though they think, you know, I've done so much, but the first time I came into the department, first of all, I didn't know they had police chaplains. I knew they had hospital and military. And when Chief Mama asked if I would like to be a chaplain, I said, a police chaplain? I mean, you know, all these guys I have to take care of, I guess. And so I said, oh, yeah. So that's how I got to be a chaplain. And of course, I have to give credit to God up there because He put me here in Monroe. I've been a teacher for many years, and I've been up and down the coast of California, Hawaii. But coming to Washington was an act of God because it was the first time that I, as a religious, had the opportunity to choose where I wanted to be. And it just happened that different things happened that I got up here, and I remember coming down 522, and there was not a soul on the road, beautiful day, and I said, oh God, what are you doing? And then I come into Monroe, and I said, well, where is everybody? So Monroe has grown very much since I've been here. And I have grown just to be with these people, and my protectors, but also my friends. And I thank God for it.
You know, it's something I should have added too, that I know as far as police department, I think that Sister B, that's what our affection is, Sister B rather than Sister Barb, is probably the only sister that I'm aware of in this part of the state of Washington that's involved in the chaplaincy. You know, and she said that, you know, that Monroe area was a gift to you, but you're a gift to us. I have one more claim that I think we would like to present to you, Catherine Hipper.
We have chaplains and the department. And you have flowers for you.
Thank you again. God bless you for what you do. I pray for these people every day because it's a hard job. And me, it's a ministry because they're serving. And people don't appreciate that. I mean, they're all people. Yeah, but they're doing a special service to each one of us. If we didn't have them, we'd be in trouble. So again, thank you and God bless each one of you.
The State Auditor's Office is here. Audited calendar fiscal year 24 That's a cutback to follow there. Luckily, you know, we have good news to report to you guys tonight. So, thankfully, I was thinking, man, but you guys have a good report here. So, as Diane mentioned, my name is Kirk Gadboy. I work with the Washington State Auditor's Office. With me today is Amanda Robinson, and we're both assistant managers out of the Everett office of our office. So, the purpose of today's meeting is to go over the 2014 audit prepared for the city, and there's two parts of that, and so I'll go over kind of what each audit was all about and kind of what we looked at. I think there's some new faces in the room, so I don't know if you guys have been through these many times before or if this is kind of all new stuff to you, but we'll hopefully make it all clear. It's a lot of information we have for you. The first audit we did was a typical audit that we would expect out of auditors. Diane prepares financial statements for the city to prepare for both the citizens around it, the city of Monroe, and also any like bondholders and state legislatures, things like that. We come in and make sure that when Diane is preparing those reports, they are going to be prepared correctly, and we have a report to show to you guys tonight about that. The other audit we do is an accountability audit. And that one's kind of unique. With that, what we do is we come in and do some planning procedures. And really, we choose to look at a couple of different areas of the city. And we make sure the city is complying with state laws and also your own internal policies and procedures. So we'll go ahead and go through those reports here in just a couple minutes. First, though, we wanted to point out a couple highlights to you guys. First thing was that Diane and really her entire staff, as well as Pam and the municipal board, really made an extremely good effort at making themselves available to us throughout the entire audit. When we asked for documentation, they had it ready immediately and were handing it to us. We really, really, really appreciate that because that just increases the audit efficiency and also, in return, decreases the audit costs to you guys as well. So we really appreciate that one, to point that out. The other thing was, is last year at this meeting, we had three management letter recommendations to share with you guys. This year, during the current audit, we followed up on those recommendations to see kind of what the status was, you know, for the city year, and the city resolved all three of those items. So that's huge. Usually we see little bits of progress, but to resolve all three items is really a big deal, and we really appreciate you guys taking the efforts to do that. So what we'll do is start diving into some of these reports. The first document is just kind of an overall agenda of the report. Out of our exit presentation here, Amanda will go ahead and go over the first document, which is kind of the yellowish colored one. It's the financial statement on the report here.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
A couple things we required to communicate for our financial statement audit. There were no uncorrected risk statements, and there were also no material missing from the financial statement that we can see in the officer and the audit. And the financial report is the one that the gold covers.
Excuse me, sir. Good.
So, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks, sir. Is that your
gold? No, sir.
Thank you, Councilor McCann. Thank you very much.
The report with the gold cover is the financial report. The important spots in the report actually highlighted kind of make it a little easier to understand what can really measure your cost for the audit. Most of the information is what your plate required, scoring, you highlighted the important stuff. The first one on page 4 is our report on internal controls and compliance. And on page 5, we actually show that we reviewed the control room page reporting for the city and found that given the limitations for our planning scope, that we found no deficiencies in internal control leading to material weaknesses. However, because we do only provide our useful return opinion, there's still many material misstatements in the page statements that we did not identify. And then the next paragraph, compliance and other matters, we also tested the financial statements for compliance with state laws, regulations, and smart tracking requirements that may have applied, and we found no instances did not apply. So again, those are good reports. The next one, next report in the pack is on page 7, and this is where our actual opinion on the financial statements is reported. First page is boilerplate, standard language. Important information starts on page 8 under unmodified opinion on regulatory base of accounting, which is with our manual. Highlighted area shows that in our opinion the financial statements referred to above necessarily on material respect the financial position of the city,
mean that you got to clean the things. The next paragraph, couple paragraphs, actually might clean up things that were reported first. And for those of you that weren't here last year, we are now required to issue an inverse opinion as well on the financial statements because the city does report on a cash basis, which is allowed by state law. However, nationally for the AICPA, it's not standard. They go by GAAP. We have to issue an inverse opinion based on GAAP reporting, but you're cleaning on cash basis, which is allowed by state law.
Most governments in the state of Washington choose to report cash basis just because GAAP financials are incredibly complex, incredibly complicated. It would take staff, you know, many times the size of what you guys have available. So for that reason, most small governments, most of the cities and counties will also report cash basis. So when it comes to like the readers of the report, when they read the, you guys, the clean opinion on the cash basis statements, that's what they're going to care about. So that's all good. The GAAP financials are optional financials that you did not have to prepare. Since you didn't prepare them, that's just the adverse thing.
Now, when this first came out, we checked with bond issuers, and we did not have that issue with this year. So it's still a clean opinion for the state. And the next paragraph on page 9, titled Other Matters, we also reviewed the city's schedule of liability, and we found that that statement was presented fairly in zero respect to all the other financial statements. So that one was also reviewed. The next couple documents in the report on page 11 is the actual financial statements and supplementary information that we reviewed. So we've been hearing that people have come before we publish the report in the next couple weeks. Mm-hmm. And then the back page is a little bit about our office. Any questions?
Thank you. Councilmembers, do you have any questions or comments? I see none. I thank you very much for the work you did.
Yes. There's a little bit more, one more report I want to go through, the delivery report here. So that was the financial statement audit report. The accountability audit report here is the one with the blue cover. And again, that's just where we look at state laws, regulations, and all internal policies and procedures. If you flip to page 4, results and brief is just saying we didn't identify any areas where it wasn't complying with state laws and some internal policies and procedures. The areas we looked at in particular are the bulleted items down below. And so, those are the areas we wanted to pick this year to look at. The next page, actually, I kind of want you guys to take a peek at as well, because this is still in draft form, is the top paragraph of page 6. And that is a description about the city. So if you guys see any typos or errors or anything like that, or like see where you can just, we can still revise that. Just let us know maybe this week before the report gets published. Otherwise, so that's what will be in there. And then the only other things I kind of wanted to point out as well, let's see what kind of flips we have back here. Is there also in your handout, there is a one-page document titled Exit Recommendations. We did find a couple areas where the city could improve its internal controls, mainly the municipal court. It's brand new, so a couple good best practice items that you're aware of. And then also vehicle identification as well. But those items are really small. We consider those to be like housekeeping items you guys can work on over the next year. We've already communicated those items to Pam and Diane, and they're already working on fixes to those items as well. So if you guys have any questions about them, I want to talk much more about them at all. As far as concluding comments go, at the entrance conference handout that I sent out to everybody, we estimated our audit cost to be about $25,000, and that's exactly what we're going to come in at. So we, you know, good things for from Diane that allowed that to happen. So also at the end of the audit here, we're going to send out a customer service survey to Diane, and then also I might also send one to you, Mayor, as well. But we want to know, at the State Auditor's Office, we want to know if there's anything we can do to improve our services to the city. So if there's anything we can do to help out the city, or if there's any like educational things that you guys would like to know from us, we have a whole team in Olympia that really is all about outreach to the government. So if there's things you're interested in, like lean performance, or how to make things more efficient here in the city, or anything like that, let us know, because we have teams that come up free of charge to cities to help cities out. So just let us know if you have any questions or anything like that. Also, your next scheduled audit will be next year. It's going to cover the same areas, accountability and financial statements. We have a cost there. And the other thing we want to point out was if you guys ever do receive any federal grant money and you spend more than $750,000 in a year, let us know immediately because we'll have to come out and do a federal grant audit as well. So, and then with that, I think we're pretty good. Much there.
So last question, any other any questions or comments? Okay, well, thank you again for all the work you did and look forward to next year.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's go. Dane, do you have anything further on this?
No, I just want to.
Okay, thank you very much. We'll now move on to announcements and presentations. Item number 3, this is AD 16001, confirmation of appointment member report. So I had the pleasure of interviewing Liliana Yakuba, did I get your name right? Thank you. For the library board, and she's qualified to serve in the position. The term will be from, if confirmed by you, the term will begin on January 12th, 2016 today, and will continue until December 31st of 2020. Councilmember Rasmussen?
Yeah, I will make a motion to confirm the mayor's appointment to the library board.
Second. Okay, the first from Councilmember Rasmussen and second from Councilmember Camp to approve the confirmation. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 5-0. Thank you.
Welcome.
You so we have a swearing in. Who's coming forward?
I'm going to raise my hand, and I will go ahead and read the oath for you, and then you can choose to swear or not. Liliana Yakuba, do you solemnly swear or affirm that you support the Constitution and laws of the United States and the State of Washington and ordinances of the City of Monroe, and that you will faithfully and impartially perform and discharge the duties of library board member according to law and to the best of your ability and understanding?
I will.
Thank you.
Proven fact
nationally, if you don't get a high school education, you're going to start at $10,000 less a year in terms of earning power. And so you won't be eligible if you don't pass high school to make it into some of the biggest employment opportunities that we have in this state, and particularly in this region. So I come here tonight to ask you to pass a resolution, and I'm going to give your clerk a copy of one, just a draft resolution that you can take, you can amend it, you can change it, you can throw it out, you can really quickly put what you want here. But we would like to have all of the communities of this county on record as supporting legislation, which will give a degree of assurance that every child going through middle school and has specific assistance is spelled out in the legislation that I gave you a copy of, where a certified teacher is in the classroom with volunteers to make sure that every kid who isn't up to standard, who are failing on some courses, not turning their work in, whatever the reason, that we see that they get engaged and they make it through high school and they're on the way to a college career or a related enterprise that will provide them with an opportunity to be successful community citizens. The alternative probably is that the chief, unfortunately, and others in law enforcement will have an opportunity to deal with a lot of people that don't make it through high school because of economic pressure, the other social ills that are out there. And we all know what that utility out on hill costs per year is related to the high school out there. Or maybe they will avoid being caught up in the criminal justice system, but they may be caught, maybe the only way that we can make them whole citizens is to support them through a certain social services network. And that's probably going to be 5, 10, or maybe even 15 times more expensive in a lifetime with regard to the needs that they'll need for the taxpayer. So I think I've probably exhausted my time. I'll ask you if you have any questions, Mayor or Councilman.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else who would like to come forward to speak on the issue related to the city of Monroe accepting quasi-judicial matters subject to the public hearing? Sorry, you just said it at the beginning. Okay, seeing none, we'll go ahead and move on to the consent agenda.
Thank you.
Councilmember Kemp.
Thank you. Can we pull number three, please?
Yes, sir. Okay, so number three has been moved from the consent agenda. Councilmember Kemp.
Can I pull number four?
And number four is moved from the consent agenda as well.
Okay.
Councilmember Hanford.
Can we. I'm going to make a motion to approve consent agenda items number 1, 2, 5, and 6.
Second.
Okay, the motion is to approve consent agenda items number 1, 2, 5, and 6, leaving 3 and 4 behind. Okay, any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 5-0. All right, so let's go to motion number 3. And motion number 3, Gene, I believe this one's yours. Mr. Brassen, can you hear counsel?
In the agreement with H3O, there, it states in there under 16.23, the naming right, there proposed a name for the park, and then the city council is to approve that. This evening, what I printed out for you at your spot is a sample from the graphic designer of the proposed name and how they came up with it. You can see the PM propulsion represents the shape of the body being towed, or person, I should say, not body. And we're supposed to be at the
end.
That's right, the top. And then the two L's in the name represent being pulled, essentially. So I'm open to questions and open to giving each through feedback.
Thank you. Councilmember Kemp.
Thank you. I want to pull this what you said, I want to discuss it a little bit. I like the name, I like the presentation, what it represents. The only question I have about this, though, is where does it say Monroe? Would it be underneath the cable park?
proposed right now would be propulsion cable park in Monroe, is what they're saying.
So, looking at this diagram, propulsion cable park, I assume, involved.
Correct. This was done prior to the Monroe, this portion being put in there after them listening to council's concerns.
Unless someone else has some other comments, I would make a motion to approve that. I'll move to approve the business name of Propulsion Cable Park in Monroe, in accordance with section 1623, the second addendum, due to cost of possession errors for him and property use agreement please to be able to get some questions. LLC.
Second. So first from Councilmember Camp, second from Councilmember Camp for discussion on the motion. Councilmember Cutterback.
Just a question about the cable park versus Wakeboard Park. Is there, it seems like Wakeboard Park tells exactly what it is, but is it, does that make it do with it not being pulled by a boat, or does that use propulsion?
Thank you for the question. If you recall back to when they proposed this project, its main rider source will be Wakeboard, but it also tows skiers. So okay. That's why they would be
okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? Any other discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 5-0. Thank you very much. Next item consent agenda item number 4. This is AB 16003, award contract to Ferguson Enterprises Incorporated to install advanced metering infrastructure system. And the staff member for this one is. Loading here. Mr.
Feilberg. Hi. Thank you. Basically, we've budgeted for this year $1.6 million to redo the meters in the city of Monroe. Basically, most of the meters have met their service life and need to be replaced anyway, and we're just moving to the next step. Currently, we have the radio reads. They drive around, they read, and this will actually make them so they read automatically, and they upload the data continuously through the day, so it'll have more information available for the residents, and also cut down on the city's costs of when someone sells a house or something, have to run out and read the meter and things like that. So, if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Any questions?
I just have a couple. Thanks, Brad. Uh-huh. And I saw that it's budgeted in the water CIP. And is that the amount we budgeted? And
yes.
Okay. And just a question about the meters. So you talked about the useful life with ending on the meters. What would be the useful life under this system? What is the useful life, do you know?
10 before meter? 20 years.
20 years.
20 years,
okay.
Yeah.
What is the current useful life on the current system?
It doesn't exactly work like that because the system's installed over the course of literally since the water system began.
Okay.
Some of them are, 1940 something.
So we've replaced them not all together but kind of as we went on?
Yeah, we've done it piecemeal over the years.
Okay. So this would be the whole system all at once and then have a 20 year useful life? Okay.
Yeah.
And then you talked about it saving money, and I didn't see any reason, but that was one of my questions, is it sounds like this is definitely a more efficient system.
Yeah.
In that you can get notice of leaks and things like that. Do you have an estimate of what you think this would save the city on a yearly basis by going to this system?
In physical, like leakage costs?
Well, just overall, I mean, obviously, I mean, I guess it could be many things. It could be time of staff. It could be saving water. It could be because you get notification sooner of a leak and it goes.
Right.
So it's a combination of things. But you haven't done any type of analysis to see by going to this system what it would save us.
Not specifically in that fashion, no. I think it's much better for our customers really on the leak end of things because we're able to communicate with them on a daily basis versus a maybe 30 or 45 day, depending on when that cycle closes. Much better for the customers. But I haven't done a specific calculation as far as any other savings.
Okay. Are there advantages to going to this system, like grants or money back because it's a more efficient system and maybe it's saving water or anything like that?
Not that are available.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Ms. Nelson, have an item also.
Yeah, I just wanted to add that
Right now, we have a meter reader in Jacob's vision dedicated. He takes a full week to read the meters. Mm-hmm. This will be done instantaneously from City Hall. Anytime there's a leak, or we can do instantaneous reads over a course of time and tell someone exactly when the leak started, or if someone has suddenly high consumption, rather than them arguing with us that they didn't use the water, we can tell them exactly when they did, because it reads in real time every 5 minutes, and it just improves the service that we can give to the citizens. When people are moving in and out, we no longer have to send a guy out to read it each time. We can just do it from our desks. It's going to totally revolutionize the way that we're doing business right now.
Thank you for that,
Dan. Thank you. Councilmember
Scarborough. Yes, is this system used in other cities, and is it a proven system?
Yes.
The city of Renton uses it.
Councilor, is there a motion? Councilmember Tabak.
I'll make a motion to award the Advanced Metering Infrastructure System project to Ferguson Enterprises Incorporated in the amount of $1.6 million and expressly authorize further minor revisions to the extent deemed necessary or appropriate.
Second. I have a first from Councilmember Cutback and a second from Councilmember Camp. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The motion passes 5-0. Thank you. The next item we have on the agenda this evening is new business item number 1. This is AB 16006, ordinance number 001/16, Columbia Crossing, final plat, PRD for first reading. And this is one of our new senior planners here this evening.
Good evening. Mm-hmm. I'm Christy Kyle, your new senior planner for the city of Monroe. Tonight I bring before you the final plat of Columbia Crossing, which is located on the west side of 182nd Street and the extension of Columbia Street. A final plat is an application which is submitted following preliminary plat approval, which is the initial project proposal stage of the subdivision. Following preliminary approval, the applicant undergoes the site civil review process and site construction to complete the subdivision improvement as required by the Federal Municipal Code and the conditions specified in the preliminary plat. An application for the final plat of Columbia Crossing to complete the planning process has been applied for by Hampton Homes in accordance with the Monroe Municipal Code Chapter 1728 pertaining to subdivisions. The plat consists of 20 single-family lots on approximately 2.5 acres. A cease of determination for the plat was issued on January 6, 2015 of last year, and a preliminary plat was granted approval by the Monroe City Council on March 24, 2015. The school-age children that will reside in this development will attend the Frank Weiber Elementary, located on Dickinson Street, Park Place Middle School, and Monroe High School. Columbia Crossing plat has been reviewed by all the relevant city staff departments. Based on staff review, the plat conforms to the approved preliminary plat and the Monroe Municipal Code. Items bonded for on this project were final lift of asphalt and striping. Staff asks that the City Council accept as first reading Ordinance 001/2016, approving the final plat of Columbia Crossing subdivision. I will be happy to answer any questions on this plat if you have any.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmus.
Thank you. No questions. I'll just make a motion to accept as first reading Ordinance number 001/2016, approving the final plat of the Columbia Crossing subdivision. Yeah, 215-02, setting forth supportive findings providing for separability and fixing a time when the same shall become effective.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Rasmussen, a second from Councilmember Hanford. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 5-0. Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Okay, the next item we have on the agenda this evening is final action item number 1. This is AB 16007. Appoint city representatives to various boards, committees, and forums. Mayor Pro Tem, Community Transit Board, French Creek Joint Board, two council members to review and sign bills, and council committees. Councilor Rasmussen.
I will start. I'd like to make a Motion to appoint Councilmember Cutback as Mayor Pro Tem for 2016.
Yeah, first from Councilmember Rasmussen. Is there a second?
We don't need a second.
Okay. Do we need a second to appoint? Okay.
I'm sure that matters.
Okay.
So
the council feels that we have
a second.
If we're making a motion. Okay, so we have a first from Councilmember Rasmussen and a second from Councilmember Camp to appoint Councilmember Cutback as Mayor for a term to 2016. Discussion. Councilmember Camp.
Actually, I have one pretty short.
Okay. Councilmember Hanford, is this is your light for the Mayor Pro Tem?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I would be fine with supporting Councilmember Cutback for that. I remember last year you had nominated Councilmember Gamble, and then I was appointed. And so in my mind, I was thinking we should have him do it, but if he'd like to do it this time, then I'll support him. So that'd be on the record that I think for next year we should appoint Councilman Gamble as he's kind of in the trenches waiting.
Thank you. Any other discussion on the motion? Okay, seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 5-0. Thank you. The next item is B. This is the French Creek Flood Control District. Councilor Kent.
Thank you, Mayor. I just was wondering, since we're missing two council members, and I know what Mr. Gamble said he wanted to support, but I don't know what Mr. Gamble is. Is there a reason that we can't postpone this until next meeting? This portion of it, I don't know what limitations we have until we have, I think we're having a full conference next week.
Okay, so let me just check one thing. There was a date, so we can get the transit board members the Thursday, January 21st. Today is the 12th. When do we need to communicate this with Selected Community Transit?
I need to provide a response to them by Thursday, January 14th. And this is very specific to attending a very specific meeting.
So I do need a motion for Community Transit this evening. Is there a motion for Community Transit Board? Does any Councilor Rasmussen?
Mayor, just a question. Sorry, I may have missed it on that question previously.
I think we've only had a call from that.
Does the staff member have any detail on this particular appointment? Because I know that some kind of cities will appoint. There is some process where there are alternates.
If you look at attachment number 3, they were specifically asking for someone from the city to attend this very specific meeting. And therefore, it would be the city's representative for this specific meeting. And then, of course, the council could choose or the individual could choose if they wanted to sort of act as sort of a liaison to attend those meetings. But it's not an official board position on community transit. It's more of a city representative to attend this particular meeting and vote on behalf of the city.
Right, okay, so I'm looking at the attachment, right. So it's reviewing the composition of Community Transit's board of directors as mandated every 4 years, and then selecting new Community Transit board members. So you have a twofold purpose. One is to review the composition, and then two is select new board members. So if you're interested in serving on the board, then it would be recommended that you be at this meeting. And then it would be good to have somebody there to express any concerns we might have about the composition of the Community Transit Board. We want to make certain that we're heard. We're the largest city in this area. And we do have issues with transit connection from Monroe to the 405 522 exchange. Community Transit Board also supported us in making changes to a route here. So I think it's important that we have a council member attend this meeting and, if possible, represent our community on that board.
And just, excuse me, just one additional point. It does say elected official, does not specify council member. I just wanted to bring that to your attention.
Thank you.
Just to be clear, not to...
Thank you. That's number 10. You have eight people you can choose from, not just seven.
Okay. I won't do that to you. I was just going to say, my understanding and my recollection from the past was that a council member went to that meeting, but realized that the whole point of being there was to appoint people, and so then they couldn't commit to continuing to do it, so it was kind of wasn't really worth the time. So I just wanted to bring that up as a discussion because I remember that in the past. So as we discuss it and decide if someone wants to do that, you're going to commit to things and you're not going to just hear about things.
Yeah, and you're reminding me, I went to this meeting, I'm remembering this now. I went to this meeting and I was appointed at the meeting as a second alternate.
Okay.
And so I remember this meeting now that you explained that to me. Councilmember Cutterback.
Well, I was going to say, I think it is beneficial that we have someone go and help form that board. And it seems like for as long as I remember, we've had an alternate on. It would be nice if we had someone that could come in. And they were chosen. Obviously, they have to be chosen by the body to sit on the board. But are you able to attend?
It would be, so the meetings are usually on Thursdays. I try to have my office hours here where I'm overlapping with staff on Thursdays. I do have a lot of experience with the King County system and also the community transit system. To me, because I am in so many places, it would be nice to have a council member that's out there. In addition to me, we have Councilmember Rasmussen on the Sonoma Shelf District. I'm hoping that, you know, I've got my name in for the Puget Sound Regional Council's economic development as not an alternate, but the person. So I think it would be good to have another council member so that people can see Monroe in different phases of Monroe across the county. So those are my thoughts.
Well, no one wants to do it. Probably work it into my schedule to go to this and then see what happens.
Okay.
I mean, see there with the intent that try to get on the board, but are you a council member?
Have you learned about buses? Do you have experience with buses?
Councilmember Scarborough?
The yellow one.
Yeah.
I'd like to get a little more into what's going on before I get into these. I'd be glad to work with Patsy on what she's learning or go with her so I could be taught instead of drowned. So if that's the way you care to work it, I'd be glad to work with Patsy.
Councilor Rasmussen.
Thank you. I'm looking at community transit's website. I'm just trying to do that.
First Thursday of each month at 3 p.m. The quarterly board workshop schedule will be third Thursday of the months of January, April, July, and fourth Thursday in October. You're also expected to serve on up to two committees. Again, this is if you're the person that's appointed to this. This committee is meeting monthly, and then special meetings may be called from time to time as necessary. And again, I was an alternate, so the person that's serving that position And then the first alternate, I was never called on for the second alternate, but I was in it. So it is a bit of a time commitment if you are the primary. Okay, so is there a motion to appoint somebody?
Whoever.
If you're going to make a motion, Councilmember Hanford?
I'll move to appoint Councilmember Cunningham because I represent him to the Snohomish County Transit.
Second. I have a first from Councilmember Hanford to appoint Councilmember Cutback, and then a second from Councilmember Rasmussen. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 5-0. Thank you. All right, is there anything else on here, staff, that needs to be addressed this week?
Sign bills. Sign bills.
Do we have any Snohomish County bills. Tomorrow meetings?
Signing bills, do we need that right now? Next week, okay.
Is Dave there? Dave, do you know when the Snohomish County tomorrow meets?
I don't.
Okay. Councilmember Hanford?
Hey, you spoke.
I was just going to ask about the bills. I've signed them in the past, so I didn't know if those were.
There are no bills for signing tonight. There will be bills for next week. So we could do it tonight or we could do it next week. And Diane, I asked her and she confirmed.
Unless you would like to make a motion to appoint two of you to sign the bills this evening.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, excuse me, I don't mind signing the bills as long as my parents are here. Okay. Are you still on me there?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'll move to appoint.
Yes.
Myself, and Councilmember Anderson.
We'll set to review and sign the bills. So I have a motion for Councilmember Hanford and Rasmussen to review and sign the bills. I have a second from Councilmember Camp. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 5-0. Okay, so let's come back to Snohomish County tomorrow. Would they be able to find out when they meet yet?
Depends on which part. There's a whole bunch of different committees, and they'll meet on different days.
Just the full body.
Is that the advisory board?
Is it the policy board or the advisory board for the steering committee?
Maybe the
steering committee. Okay. Steering committee is like the 21st, okay, let's go back. Steering committee is, next one is January 27th.
Okay, so we can vote on that next week, and unless you have, council can vote on that next week if you like. So this, Councilmember Camp?
Thank you. I was, before that, I was going to volunteer myself to represent the council, so I'll just tomorrow.
Okay, so Councilmember Camp, are you
taking your position?
Yeah.
That's good. So Councilmember Camp, did I understand that you moved to appoint Councilmember Camp?
Yes.
Okay. Can I go as a second?
I second.
Councilmember Cutback is the second. Yep. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 5-0. Okay, so that leaves us then with the French Creek Flood Control District. The legislative and then the internal committees here at the city. And so we will bring those 1, 2, 3, 4 items back to council next week. And thank you very much. All right, we're going to move on now to council member reports. Council member Scarborough.
Nothing to report that I know of.
Council member Camp.
Thank you, Mayor. First, happy belated New Year to everyone. Good to see everyone. Good to see you. Welcome to the council member. Good luck. It'll be a little bit different. Best wishes. I just want to point out I have the glowing report from the auditors. Your result of Old Star. I wish I could say I was surprised, but I'm not. It's always been just an excellent job. As has the staff of the Senate. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilor Rasmussen.
Absolutely. And with that, I thank you and your team and your staff, Mayor, for myself within the year, so that's always a great way to start it. Yes, Happy New Year. Welcome, Kirk. Glad to have you up here. And looking forward to working with you. So, said that, had our first Snohomish County Health Board meeting this evening. It's going to be an interesting year, lots of stuff coming up, and look forward to being able to have a more detailed formal report in the coming months. I was all excited to get the official swearing in, and I represent multiple communities that don't always meet weekly. There's one more that we're waiting on confirmation from, so. Mm-hmm. It's officially unofficial at this point, but it's nice. I wasn't the only one in that same boat, too. So, like I said, if it was a great meeting, lots of information. Look forward to coming back with more information. So.
Good. Thank you. Councilmember Kovac.
I'll echo that, Diane. Great resolving three management. That's great. Well, thank you for that. A couple weeks ago, I ate at Main Street Cafe, so if you haven't been down there, it's a new cafe business for the Ching folks. It was just wonderful, so just glad to have another breakfast place. Attended the chamber meeting today. It was really good information here with the school district has been doing, and got to hear from the new superintendent, Dr. Smith. I would like to thank the Parks Department. I have a new dog. Just got a puppy about 5-6 weeks ago, so I've been using the dog park a lot on a weekly, if not daily basis, and really appreciate the city staff going down there after all the flooding and cleaning up, because there was quite a bit of damage, but during the break they went in there and cleaned it all up. It's great. It's such a great park for a lot of residents, and so thank you for that. And welcome to U.S. Councilmember Carlos. Great working with you.
Thank you.
Appreciate your service.
Thank you. Councilmember
Scarborough? Now that I kind of know what this report is, that's a better idea what you're saying. Thank everybody for all their support, and thank you all for accepting me up here. It's an uphill learning curve, no doubt. I look forward to it. Appreciate the support of the citizens, and I look forward to trying to make Monroe better in whichever way we can. We all understand that you can please part of the people some of the time, and some of the people part of the time. You can't please all the people all the time. I suspect I'm going to learn that more. definitely in the next couple of years. I look forward to working with the council, the mayor, Gene, the chief, Brad, Parks. My pleasure to be here. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Councilor Hanford.
Thank you. Happy New Year to everyone. Came at the tail end of the presentation. Sorry, I was late with traffic on 532. had a great time during the Christmas break. One of the things, I don't know, get a chance to read the article that Chris did on the food bank the week before Christmas. The Employees Community Fund, the board that I sit on for the voting employees that donate. We made a dozen special funding grants to food banks in the Puget Sound area, and Sky Valley Food Bank was one of them. And it was very impactful. Grant to be made because several years ago, before I worked at Boeing, when I was laid off from my position where I was working, I utilized the food bank to feed my family for almost 9 months. And so it was very rewarding for me to be able to come back there and present a check to the food bank to help replenish their stock after the holidays. And so it was just very special. I will also say that during that time when I was unemployed, Sister Barbara and Dorothea, the lady that lives next door, hired me to So that was a great time, special time right before Christmas. Had a wonderful break. Looking forward to getting back at it. Wanted to welcome our newest councilman. Congratulations.
Thank you. We'll go ahead to staff. Mr. Morgan, anything tonight?
Nothing, sir.
WG Tenard, anything tonight? Jacob? Mr. Robertson? Mr. Farrell?
Thank you, Mayor. Just a couple things. Want to let you know that we are currently advertising for someone to operate concessions at Lakeside Park and also at Skyburn Park. So that ad will remain out there until the position is filled. And then secondly is next week we should be advertising for construction bids for the skate park improvements at Lakeside Park. That's it.
Thank you. Ms. Nelson?
Nothing tonight.
Thank you. Mr. Osaki?
Just one item. During the course of the past month, there's been, in accordance with the schedule for the Growth Management Hearings Board, series of briefs and responses filed by both the city and the appellants, all leading towards still a hearing report, a compliance hearing before the Hearings Board next Wednesday, January 20th. Although, as of this afternoon, we still didn't know where the location was. But in terms of the schedule, the compliance is still what we informed the council during the course of the past several months. This all leads to a hearing, compliance hearing next Wednesday. That's it.
Thank you. Chief?
Two things. Excuse me. Sunday at 10:30, we had a celebration at the Catholic Church honoring Sister Barbara, and that was a really exciting time for the department and for the Sister B. And the second thing is, at the end of December, we conducted first responder training at the middle school for 2 days. And the vast majority of our officers went through it, and it was very beneficial.
Thank you. Mr. Fowler.
Hey, guys, just direct your attention to the Public Works Department report that's included in your packet, telling you all the projects we have ongoing and starting up this summer. We're busy doing design work for road maintenance work using the Transportation Benefit District money, and also doing some water main replacements before we fix the roads, so that we don't have to come dig the road up the year after we have repainted it. So that's all I got.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Gene, why don't you go ahead and let's hop into the lobbyist report. And council members, another place that I worked on the lobbyist report is at the beginning of the agenda. Are we going to be calling in to our lobbyist on this one?
Yeah. Not on this one. I'll just present.
Okay, sounds good. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mayor Constant. First thing I'd like to say is a big thank you to Green Lights Parish. They've been in contact with us, if not daily, every couple of days with questions and information we've asked. They've been in numerous meetings with the mayor's staff, and I am very responsible to very responsive. One of the things that I mentioned in an email earlier this week is that as we move through session, questions will come before council in regards to House bills. So once before you this evening would be in regards to House Bill 2348, which has to do with fireworks. The motion that council could take, as I understand it, basically direction to our lobbyists is either support or oppose the House bill. Whether or not you want the lobbyists to sign in, so basically they would just sign in on the bill for or against, or they can actually testify for or against, or they can work the bill, which means, you know, be interactive, give feedback, suggest changes, that type of thing. So that's kind of where the council being
monitored.
So those are kind of the areas that council will be asked to take action on, or give direction to our lobbyists on as we move through this year's session. So I'm just looking for some feedback on House Bill 2348.
So House Bill 2348 is written up here. This with an exceptionally dry and unusual 2015 winter and spring, Governor Jay Inslee declared a statewide drought emergency. During that same period, he issued an emergency burn ban throughout Washington. No one has the authority under state law to evacuate fireworks immediately. As you know, the bans end up going into effect if you're going to change anything related to fireworks after a 1 year wait period. So this would remove that 1 year wait period. So the question for council is, do you want to monitor, do you want to sign in one way or the other? And Councilor Tobey.
Do you know why they had the 1 year wait period in the first place? I'm not saying we should change our ordinance. She was, again, not our banning fireworks. I think you had mentioned before when we brought this up. But just having cities have the flexibility and not having to wait a year if they want to do it seems to give us more flexibility. I'm just wondering why there's a 1 year wait period or fireworks. Mm-hmm. Things that that protected. So I'm ambivalent about it, sure. You know, whether, you know, we just monitor it is okay, or we sign on and say, yeah, get rid of the 1 year wait period. It doesn't mean we're going to change our ordinance, it just gives us more flexibility. So I would go either way. I wouldn't sign up against it, so I wouldn't say that.
So yours would be monitor for right now?
Monitor or sign on to advocate for getting rid of the 1 year. Either one, but not keeping out of
this. Okay.
Yeah,
Councilor Kemp. Thank you. I would echo Councilor Fedbeck's opinion. I have heard that part of the reason for the 1 year waiting period was because of nonprofit fireworks stands and the fact that they purchase materials before the 4th of July and have to put several financial losses. That's why I heard. I don't know for a fact that it's true. But again, monitor.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. Thank you, Councilman Burnham.
I believe Councilman Rasmussen.
Okay.
So, I agree. So, I know Councilman Camp said, Councilman Kovac, I think that was the reason. And so that there's not this knee-jerk reaction. And based on the discussions we had about this in the past, even going beyond the nonprofits, if all the neighborhoods all go out and buy the fireworks, and then the day before, the city says, oh, no fireworks. That's not what the chief wants. So I'm not interested in signing on to support that.
Okay.
At that
point.
Okay.
Councilor
Rasmussen? Yeah, I'm okay with monitoring it. I do have the flexibility to have some appeal to me, I'll be honest. Given the situation we had last summer, I would put a lot more confidence into our staff and those that have the and us up here to have our own policy that helps prevent the knee-jerk reaction, if you will. Because I do agree that there's with the amount of time and money spent to purchase those fireworks, the day before be a huge loss, but an emergency situation calls for it. I have to look at that side of it too. So, monitoring, yes. I do give her a little more flexibility if the need arises. And we can dictate how much flexibility we have. If we put the rules in our hands and how it works for us, that we can control what we write, right?
Mr. Servo?
Being relatively new here on this. I'll echo the monitoring. I'm not sure what our policy is on banning. I'd like to know what the thoughts are about is there a movement among citizens to ban the fireworks, or is there just a movement to monitor them?
some firemen have expressed to me their concerns about the amount of fireworks that go on, the amount of injuries that incur, are incurred by them, and the amount of fire calls they go to on certain evenings around the 4th of July or the 1st of the year. So I'm not sure exactly, other than saying, yeah, for monitoring, I'm not sure if we're asking that we just monitor our own ordinance about banning or our own ordinance about banning because it's a dry year.
Okay, so for right now then, it sounds like we have a consensus to monitor, and you'll see it on the extended agenda, Councilor Scarborough, that council, when this was, when fireworks were last discussed in August, there was a decision made to bring it back in, after the first of the year. So we can certainly have that discussion as to whether or not you want that on the extended agenda, and we can have additional discussion and staff to go ahead and talk to you a little bit more about what the laws are. So it's a little unusual the way the state laws are written, because whatever laws we adopt now, it takes a full year before they go into effect. All right, so we're going to go ahead and list that as monitor. So the next item on the list, this is House Bill 1438, and this bill would limit our ability, the city's ability, to prohibit the production, processing, and sale of marijuana in the city of Monroe without a public vote. So, as you know, right now we currently have a moratorium, or we're out of a ban these activities here. If we want to continue to be able to do that, then the logical thing would be to sign in against this bill, because that would keep us out of our ability to have on the books what we have today. So, does anybody want to do anything different than sign in as opposing this bill?
Just a question. It says back again in 2016. So was this bill sponsored previously and was not successful?
That's how I interpret that. Yes.
Well, I'd be inclined to either monitor this one or sign in against it. That would be mine. Okay. I'm not in favor of limiting the city's ability to determine this on our own. So, other council members feel
if
they want to take a stand on it.
Councilor Kemper?
Yes, so I agree with what you said. Just sign on against it. Sign on against it. And of course, we want to be this one.
Yeah.
Anybody else? Councilor Kemper?
I agree.
Okay. Councilor
Kemper? Agreed.
Alright, so we're going to go ahead and we're going to sign in. Did you? Sorry. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and we're going to sign in against this. Alright. And as you can see, the AWC staff will be testifying against that also. Do you want to go ahead and take the next one? Okay. So we're going to do it this year. So the next one is a pair, so it's a Senate Bill 6171 and House Bill 2353. This would increase the fine to $500 for a first violation of the Open Public Meetings Act. Today, that violation is $100. In addition, if a member of a governing body who has been assessed a previous penalty, again knowingly violates the Open Public Meetings Act, the penalty may be increased to $1,000 per violation. Again, monitor, sign in for, sign in against. That's where it ended.
Do they have like reasons for why they want to increase this?
What I've heard is that $100 was established some time ago, and this would be sort of accounting for the cost of inflation. That is what I heard in a different setting. Do you still have a clue?
Yeah, I'm just thinking we haven't had a problem just for years that I'm aware of. I'm just thinking if putting myself in the position, if I accidentally
violated this, not knowing. I wouldn't want to be hit with a $500 fine just down the room for an accident. I can see increasing the second, violation, but I would be against raising it myself.
Thank you, Councilor Camp.
Thank you.
I have to agree with Councilor Camp.
I really would like more information about this particular bill. We have, four and a half years ago, a lot of concerns about the Public Meetings Act and whether or not four of us could be standing in the same room. Led to a lot of discussion about access to facilities in this place. So, before we decide whether or not we're going to be in favor of it, I really could get more information about it. Just, I don't know if we have to have a discussion on it as part of the agenda, but I would just like to know more about, like I said, why we're increasing $500 and the second action of $1,000. I'm just curious if you prefer to get into criminal penalties. Too many questions.
So I'm hearing more information, i.e. background information. So that is currently the direction I'm understanding is to request more information on background. Councilman Sperber?
I've concurred with Councilman Camp and Walter. I would be for the second one being more punitive than the first. Would like more information concerning the whole bill before we do anything but monitor it. Just like.
Okay. All right, so what Jim will do then is he'll follow up with the lobbyist firm to get some more background information on this bill as to why this is being brought forward. And he'll send out an email about that. It is going to public hearing on the 14th. And so, shall we put this in the monitor category for now? That doesn't sound like it would be so inclined as to ask the lobbyist to go and testify on Thursday. Okay. Anything further from?
No, just to thank you for your patience. We're new at this. We're learning. We're hopefully going to get information out every Friday to you, which is what our goal is. Not sure if we'll have this week because we're being started. So whatever I get, sent to you guys.
And if you're able to advance the councilman, if you've got questions like why is this occurring, if you could email them to me and to Gene, Gene will go ahead and follow up with our lobbyists so that we can have a more productive conversation here. Another jurisdiction that I'm familiar with actually has the lobbyists on speakerphone. I don't know if you're going to be doing that at every meeting, but literally they'll spend 15 minutes at 25 to a half hour talking with lobbyists over the phone, going over a much thicker packet of material. And but if we get your questions ahead of time, it will allow us to be better prepared for the meeting. Okay, so I'll just go through a couple of the items I did and go back to Gene. So the last few weeks have been really busy at the city for me. A lot of the effort that I've been putting out has been related to State Route 522 and to other lobbying things. You'll see in the row this week a summary of some of the things I did that we did just last week. We met with the governor, the governor's representative out of Everett, and we were here on Monday last week to talk about 522. We had Greenlight there, Brian's there with me and Gene and Brad. And then on Thursday last week, we had a pretty unique thing here. We transformed this room, had dinner tables in here, and well over 20 people in here. And they weren't all from one organization. We had one person from the county council, one from the county executive's office, one from one legislative district, another one from another legislative district. We had four cities in the room. It was a packed room full of people interested in 522. And we are hopeful that there will be some way that we can get some movement toward funding at least the design of the widening from two lanes to four lanes on 522. What you should be thinking that is probably in your heads right now is, why would you even do a design when I'm driving down 522 and I see on one side it's already, you know, there's an area that's dirt and it appears to be compacted, you're just going to put asphalt on there. The same things that affect our developers affect us. What designs were done, what reviews were done 10, 15 years ago, need to be redone now because of changes in regulations. And that's assuming they needed, that's assuming that they didn't just do some preliminary design worship or some preliminary grading. So they are going to, they being the Department of Transportation, is going to be getting Representative Dunshee some more information about a more precise cost for the design and engineering. And then that's probably what we're going to be making a run at the legislature to try to get funded in this session is some money for doing the design work. The thought process there being that if you've got something that's shovel ready, it makes 522 more competitive for federal grant money. And we have not been approaching this from the standpoint of trying to get money out of the transportation bill. And the reason for that is that it was made apparent in the room that there are people that are not going to want to move around transportation projects where the representatives had voted in favor of fuel tax increase. And, you know, the funny thing is that when I go to the pump, I'm paying that fuel tax increase, even though we're not getting anything on 522. So, kind of frustrating that, you know, that transportation package has been structured the way that it is, and we're not certain we're going to be able to get anything. If we did, it's probably 16 years out. So, if there's a way we can kickstart the process by getting the engineering started in the next year or two or three, construction then occurs about 2 years after that, we're at that point ahead of where we would have been if we had waited to the 16th year of the existing package. So part of the problem we're running into is that it does cross through legislative districts. It affects four cities. It affects all of Council District 5. It affects one congressional district, but it crosses three legislative districts, and it's difficult getting. That's challenging. You've got to get all these people with different political backgrounds, working partisan backgrounds, working together to get funding for the stretch of the road. And so, we have a couple of takeaways from the meeting. One takeaway was that bringing the information from DOT to Dunshee. The other one is that I am writing a piece that. We are going to be getting logos from different organizations that support this, so Monroe and Sultan and Duval and so on and so forth, and having those on a page that when they go and visit on January 28th, next time Councilmember Cadillac can make it, Councilmember Starlow can make it, if anybody else can, let us know. We're going to meet with our legislators and hopefully hand them this flyer with all these different logos on it saying we are the ones that support improvements to and funding for State Route 522 for the 2-4 lanes. So that's kind of where 522 is right now, and that means on the 28th, which means we've got a lot of work to do in the short term to make that happen. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to call the customer to come back and then for
Mine was about ASAP, AWC dates, so I
can come back to that. We'll come back to that, yeah. Customer Hanford?
Yeah, I just want to thank you for spearheading this, and you're doing a great job, Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you, Josh. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Councilor Sperber?
When you say four lanes on 522, does that encompass the overpasses as well?
Yes. 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 There's been a lot of discovery on this. I did not realize that our legislative district number 39 ended in the river. And it was meeting with Representative Christensen, and he said, well, everything has been approved in our council district. And there was an epiphany in that room. And it was, I did not realize that it ended at the water. And so the way that things work in the legislature, it's not easy. Things count against certain legislative districts. So you've actually got to get legislative district number one to advocate for the improvements that are in their district that most of the population is east of the river. I'm sorry, west of the river. That's where it's on the east coast. I still think ocean, wrong side. So they're west of the river. And so their interest in improving something that mainly benefits where we live and North Snoqualmie River Valley is a little bit different. To us, it's very important. The other thing, too, is that Fire District Number 3 ends at the river. And so that also was an epiphany on Wednesday last week, which led to me contacting Fire District Number 7, and one of the commissioners was able to come and attend. And he had actually been working on improvements for 522 a number of years ago. So that's, that was Commissioner Colombo. So we had him here too. We'll continue working the issue, and so that's where that is. Does anybody else have any questions about 522?
Does the amalgamation of District 3 and 7 help this?
It doesn't hinder it. That's a political answer. I think it's fine. You know, we have two logos, 3 and 7, and I'll be talking to the commissioners because the chief was there, Chief Silver was there. Well, I'll try to get a hold of the commissioners. It's always nice having elected officials write something or sign on something too. Also, just for correction, the cost of the widening from 2 lanes to 4 lanes is $76.1 million. I know that there are a couple places where. Somebody said $52 million, and I think it was reported somewhere else $58 million. So $76.1 million is what the Department of Transportation has told us. We're hoping that they can winnow down the number, at least for the design, and maybe that'll come down a little bit. But that was part of the conversation. How much was the interchange? Was it $108 million? $108 million? It was just $2 million off. So, anyway. So that's where 522 is, and do understand that that's not the only thing that we're working on in Olympia with AWC, as we'll come back to. We also have on there the synthetic turf fields, and we have on there the 191st connection between Galaxy and Walmart going up the hill, and the silent train crossing. We've got other things we're working on down there too, but this has sort of become a very, very, very important issue that we're trying to work on. So let's go ahead and talk a little bit about AWC days, and then I do have an announcement to make that some of you may have seen already before we end the meeting. So, Councilmember Kodak, AWC days.
So, the schedule, I don't have when we're meeting as far as the appointment time. I think it's from 3
to 4 o'clock. Yeah, so the time, so these are things get complicated. So, it's a 2-day event, as you know.
Right.
So, Councilmember Scarborough and Mr. Rouse will be going to both days.
Okay.
We still need to schedule our 15-minute meetings with the representatives. Is that correct? Okay, Pam is working on that. So we don't know when those are going to be yet. The big meeting that is only focused on 522, where it would be great to have as many people there as possible that are, you know, that are here from Monroe, is at 4 p.m. And so if you think you're going to be able to make, we'd like to know about that, like within the next week. Because we need to make certain we have enough chairs in Christensen's office. And if we do hit a quorum, then we do need to make certain we notice that as a meeting. So that's at 4 p.m. Now, there is also the groundbreaking for the, what did we end up calling it tonight? The
Wave of Lush Park.
Okay. For the propulsion cable park, Monroe, that is being, we have the groundbreaking for that right around noon on the same day. And so, the 28th. And so I will be at that groundbreaking, which means if those 15-minute meetings are before 3 p.m., it will be Councilmember Hewitt, I think, representative. Councilmember Scarborough and Mr. Brazel, it will be attending those 15-minute meetings. unless another council member is able to attend.
I'm going up Thursday morning early. I'm going up for other matters too, but I'm there the whole day.
Perfect.
That's why I need to know the time and.
As soon as I get that, I assume I don't have the confirmation for the cable park grand opening or not grand opening, ribbon cutting. As soon as we get confirmation from H3O, I'll get that to you as well. But right now, it looks like it'll be between 11 and noon.
So if anybody wants to go to the groundbreaking at noonish and then drive down, I'd be willing to drive you down. I think I've got one staff member that will be joining them to drive down. But I will just be going down, doing 4 o'clock, and then probably coming back up, maybe grabbing dinner, depending on what we need to do after that.
And I'll be going up early Thursday morning, so if anyone wants to go up Thursday on Thursday.
Okay. Right, anything else on the other series? Okay. Gene, one of the other things. I'll just go ahead and go to the. So we have one other thing. I hope that everybody gets a little bit of Facebook. Yesterday we learned from Seahawks that they wanted to see if the city of Monroe would be willing to host a Seahawk rally, which is done by the Seattle Seahawk team. Not the players, but the team franchise would come up here with their large bus that says we are 12 on the side. With a mascot and Blue Thunder, and it's going to be a very large rally. One of the cities where they just had this had about 1,000 people at it. So we figure a few hundred to 1,000 people could be in attendance. It is at 10 a.m. on Friday. We have advertised on Facebook. We had to wait until about noon today because the Seahawks had to notify the public first. Then we were able to notify the public. And we apologize for the short notice, but it's nothing's happened. This came about because we have a staff member here who knows somebody that works with the Seahawks, and it's the same connection that led us to having the 12-man flag last year. So I will talk with staff about whether or not we can get up a 12-man flag for Friday, like at the roundabout, just for when the bus comes into town and leaves. And then if we're able to do both the American flag and the 12-man in downtown, we'll do that like we did last year. Not with the ceremony, but just put it up so that for the weekend that it's up. But it's an honor to have them come here. The reach on the number of people who've looked at it and expressed interest is several thousand at this point with the city's Facebook page. So this is pretty cool. Does anybody have any questions about that? Again, it's 10 a.m. I assume there will be a lot of people there. I would encourage you to get there early. We will be raising the 12-man flag. Because we don't have a flagpole down there, it will be done on one of the fire truck with the aerial ladder from District 3. So that'll be pretty awesome. Okay, any questions? Okay, let's go ahead. Gene?
Okay, we've got Jetta for January 19th, 2016. These are announcements and presentations. We have a recognition of service for K-9 Jet. Jim Lanford will be doing a land sales appointment. And then there'll be a confirmation of appointment to salary commission. Please salary commission. Got a consent agenda. Your new business, we will be looking at the proposed or requested water service extension. And then the paper easement request. Of course, we have another copy of the lobbyist report. Conditions or conditions?
That's what we can.
I will be nothing concerning as I just want to let you know that the teams class are 2026. I'll be late for Tuesdays in February.
Okay, so we'll mark you down as out on the 26th and late the first 2 Tuesdays in February. Councilor Ricardback?
We need to add the rest of the committee appointments.
Right. Yes, that will be added to the agenda.
And then I think we wanted to add for discussion or have a look at the resolution
we have one customer, I haven't looked at it yet, so.
I haven't looked at it.
So we'll go ahead and we'll put that under new business, under discussion.
Yeah, and I think she gave a copy, or he gave a copy of a resolution, just a, I knew nothing about it. Maybe just a bill that's been dropped into the lobbyist and.
What we'll do is.
Indication where the funding's coming from. You know, that's.
Perfect, we will, Jean will follow up with the lobbyists to find out if they've got any information on this, if we have something more than just what's written there, because you're right, there could be fiscal impacts or.
Could be taking money from something else, and then also whether schools support it.
Right.
It could occur in schools, but I just got it tonight, so I don't know, but I could read very quickly to say that in partnership with schools and.
We could reach out to the middle school district also and see if they have any information on it. So we'll reach out to our lobbyists and also to the school district and see what certain input they have. Any other questions on that? Any agenda?
The one thing I just want to point out in the extended agenda is on January 19th. It'll be pictures for the council starting at 6 o'clock. And it'll be a group photo at 6:45. So wear your best suit and tie or dress. The 19th.
Okay. Can everybody be here at 6:45 for a group photo? Please.
No.
No?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, let's go over the extended agenda. Things look a little sparse right now, but we will be populating these as is usual. We do have a work plan that I've been working on with staff, and over the next couple of weeks, we'll be able to start sort of populating some of these extended days and see what's coming up on the horizon. Mr. Russell.
So we're talking about the House bill in regards to fireworks. If you look at the extended agenda, we do have a placeholder to look at our municipal code on February 16th. So if that's something council wants to keep there or move out, we're willing to do it.
Council, what's your pleasure?
Keep it.
Keep it. Okay. Does anybody have any other questions for me or me? That's what we're doing.
Just that when you get notification where the growth management floor hearing is going to be on the 20th, if you can email that out, because I've had a couple members call, or a couple community members call me asking. I told them I'd get back to them when I find out. Thank you.
There was one other request that was made of me, and that is to let you all know when, because the H3O's paid their back rent by February 1st. So Gene's going to go ahead and send off an email to all of us when that payment is made. Are there any other items of concern? Okay. With that said, there is no other business for this evening. Councilmember Rasmussen.
We should do a turn.
Okay. Yeah, first from Councilmember Rasmussen, second from Councilmember Chowdhury, the discussion on the motion to adjourn. Say none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 5-0. Thank you very much, have a great evening, and thank you for your service. We'll adjourn.